Hey guys, welcome to this brand new episode of Astrophysica's podcast. Myself, Aman, and with me is Krishna. Hey, Krishna.
Hey, everyone.
Perfect. So guys, today we have a really interesting topic for you, and it is quantum entanglement. So most of you might be familiar with this term through science fiction movies, especially Marvel movies. I mean, the Avengers wouldn't be able to, you know, defeat Thanos if it wasn't for quantum entanglement. So let's see, what is quantum entanglement? So it's basically one of the most bizarre phenomena seen at very tiny subatomic scales. You know, when two or more particles link up in a certain way, no matter how far apart they are in space, their states remain linked.
And that means they share a common unified quantum state. So observations of one of the particles can automatically provide information about the other entangled particles, regardless of the distance between them. And any action to one of these particles will invariably impact the others in the entangled system.
Exactly. So I'll give you a small example to imagine this. So say Krishna and I have a small box. Okay, each of us have this box, and inside the box is a dice. Okay, and we both shake the box. Okay, just to shuffle the dice, and then we decided to leave. So I go back to Kochi, and she goes back straight to Mumbai. So like right now we are thousands of kilometers apart. Okay, now I decide to open the box to see what the number the dice is showing. Okay, and so obviously according to common sense, the probability is it could be any of the six numbers, right? So the probability is 1/6, and it's the same for Krishna. So when I open, I might see the number 4, for example, and Krishna might see the number 5. There is absolutely no connection between the results, what we both are getting. So in another scenario, how quantum entanglement works is, say before we, split, we just, make the boxes touch each other or something, okay? And then, this touching, in quantum scales can be considered as quantum entanglement. This action can be considered as entanglement of these dice. Okay, and when we when we open the box now, it should be if I open and I see the number as 5, then when Krishna opens, it also should have the same result. Okay, so this is how quantum entanglement works. When two particles are entangled, the state of one particle will be the same as that of the other particle. So I hope you guys understood. This is a really weird hypothesis, like example, just to make you guys understand.
So that was a really good example, Aman. So do you know physicists developed the fundamental ideas behind entanglement as they worked out the mechanics of quantum world in the early decades of 20th century? So what they found is, to properly describe a subatomic system, they had to use something called it.
Yeah, and in the quantum world, nothing is ever known for certain. For example, you never know exactly where an electron in an atom is located, only where it might be. And a quantum state summarizes the probability of measuring a certain property of a particle, like its position or angular momentum. So for instance, the quantum state of an electron describes all the places you might find it, and together with the probabilities of finding the electron at those places.
Yeah, and another feature of quantum state is that they can be correlated with other quantum states, meaning that measurement of one of the states can affect the other. You might be wondering what kind of interaction takes place here. So in 1935 paper, Albert Einstein, Boris Podolsky and Nathan Rosen examined how strongly correlated quantum states would interact with each other. So they found that when two particles are strongly correlated, they lose their individual and instead share a single unified state.
Exactly. And another way to think about it is that a single mathematical container can describe all particles simultaneously, regardless of their individual properties. And this unified state would become known as the quantum entanglement.
True. And the first physicist to use word entanglement was Erwin Schrödinger, one of the founders of quantum mechanics. He described entanglement as one of the essential aspects of quantum mechanics, saying its existence is complete departure from classical lines of thought.
Yeah. And once you have knowledge of one quantum state, you automatically know the quantum state of any entangled particles. And in principle, you could place two entangled particles on opposite ends of the galaxy and still have this instantaneous knowledge, which appears to violate the limits of, the speed of light.
Yeah. And this result is known as EPR paradox, which is short for Einstein, Podolsky and Rosen, an effect Einstein dubbed as spooky action at distance. Let me tell you why he used this phrase. So in 1930s, Albert Einstein was upset with quantum mechanics. So he proposed a thought experiment where, according to the theory, an event at one point in universe
could instantaneously and arbitrarily far away. So he called this spooky action at distance because he thought it was absurd. It seemed faster than light communication, something his theory of relativity ruled out. So he used the paradox as evidence that quantum theory was incomplete, but the experiment have repeatedly confirmed that entangled particles do influence each other regardless of distance, and quantum mechanics remains verified to this day.
That is spooky indeed. And you know, an observer at the faraway particle does not know if the local observer has disturbed the entangled system and vice versa. And they must exchange information with each other no faster than the speed of light to confirm.
Yeah. And to say in other words, the limit imposed by still hold with entangled systems. While you may know the status of a distance particle state, you cannot communicate this information faster than speed of light.
Yeah.
So how do you create this quantum entanglement, Aman?
Yeah, so actually there are many ways to entangle particles, okay? And one method is to cool the particles and place them close enough together so that the quantum states, you know, overlap, which makes it impossible to distinguish one particle from the other.
Yeah, and another way is to rely on some subatomic processes like nuclear decay that automatically produces entangled particles. And according to NASA, it's also possible to create entangled pairs of photons or particles of light by either splitting a single photon and generating a pair of photons in process, or by mixing pair of photons in a fiber optic cable.
True. And you know, perhaps the most widely used application of quantum entanglement is in cryptography. And in this scenario, a sender and a receiver build a secure communication link that includes pairs of entangled particles. Okay, so the sender and the receiver use the entangled particles to generate private keys known only to them, and that, you know, they can use to encode their messages.
Mm-hmm. And to adding to that, if someone enters an attempt to read the private keys, the entanglement breaks because measuring an entangled particle changes its state. That means the sender and receiver will know their communication have been compromised.
Yeah, and you know, there's one more application for quantum entanglement, which is quantum computing, and in which large numbers of particles are entangled, thereby allowing them to work in, you know, concert to solve some large complex problems. For example, a quantum computer with just 10 qubits, which is known as a quantum bits, can represent the same amount of memory as 2 raised to 10 traditional bits. So that's really huge.
Yeah.
So guys, that's it for this week's episode. So see you guys next week, the brand new episode. Until then, this is Aman Mohan signing off with Krishna. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.